Morning. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock. I'm Susie Jones on this. I'm going to say it. It's a chilly morning. I mean, it's beautiful. If you want to come out to the fair, just make sure that you are wearing a sweater or a sweatshirt or a parka. Again, I'm Susie Jones, and we are here at the fair, and we invite you to stop over if you are walking across the street right now as I say hello to friends. It's a health hour we do every Sunday morning, and we pick a different topic every Sunday morning. And this morning we're going to talk about, dare I say, headaches. Headaches and migraines, and what is the difference? And we're going to take your calls as well at 651-461-9226 as folks are making their way into the fair. The door's just opened. And we're happy to have us on our news line from Naran Neurology. We have Dr. Katie Ferguson and Dr. Michael Sethna. Both of them work there. Both are doctors. And Katie specializes in pediatric neurology, and Michael, adult neurology. And I think I'll start with Michael, if that's all right. Dr. Sethna, am I saying that correct?
Yes.
Wonderful. So I mentioned at the onset the difference between a headache and a migraine. What is the difference?
Well, a headache is any kind of head pain at all. Migraine, at its extreme, is a totally miserable experience, typically pounding headache that makes you nauseous. You want to lie down in a quiet, dark room and die. Problem often is that, especially in adults, kids are brand new, and we often get very pure migraine in kids. They're just fine, and then they get a miserable headache, and then they're just fine again. In adults, certainly by the time they see a neurologist, much more often than not, headache is maybe 80% migraine and 20% tension, or 20% migraine and 80% tension. But a migraine itself is typically, again, a miserable experience that often leaves a person feeling beat up and washed out for a day or so.
And what about this notion of seeing spots or seeing lines or different things like that and how it manifests?
A minority of migraines are typically preceded by a weird experience that most common would be a visual experience. This is what we call a classic migraine with a migraine aura. A person might say, I was just sitting there and all of a sudden I saw this flickering something off to one side. I thought I must have something in my eye, and they rub the eye and no, it's not the eye. They see zigzag lines or flashing lights that build and get bigger and bigger over 5 or 10 minutes. And then it recedes and they develop the world's worst headache. One of the strangest things about this is a person, it's not infrequent, especially in older persons, to have the light show and then no headache. So the patient goes to the doctor and says, look, I'm having this weird experience. We say, aha, that's a migraine. And they say, but I had no headache. And then the correct diagnosis is migraine headache without headache.
Have migraines always been in our world, and we just haven't known what they are? Or like, what's the history of understanding migraines?
Oh, they've been there forever.
Yeah, yeah. And we know what causes them, Dr. Sethna?
Bad luck.
No way, really. So it's just that. Not like genomes or genetic, yeah?
There are, of course, there are genetic factors, I think just about everyone has the wiring to have a migraine. Usually, if a person is going to have migraines, they appear in the in adolescence or early adulthood. Although I saw a person the other day that had their first migraine in their 80s, which is quite remarkable.
Yeah, I'll say. If you're just tuning in or just walking by, we're live out here at the Minnesota State Fair. I'm Susie Jones, along with Dr. Katie Ferguson and Dr. Michael Sethna, both neurologists with Naran Neurology. And we're talking about migraine headaches and just plain headaches, and also migraines in children. And Dr. Ferguson, I just want to ask you, are you seeing more and more children with migraines?
Great question, Susie. I'd say we're seeing we see migraines all the way down to toddlers. People are surprised to hear that. But I would say definitely we've been seeing more in our adolescents, our teenagers in the last few years. Seems like maybe with the COVID pandemic, things picked up a little bit. And we see quite a few teenagers and adolescents in our clinics with migraines.
And do we have any sense yet of the correlation between screen time and headaches or migraines?
Great question.
Yeah.
Lots of my teenagers do have worsening of their headaches with screen time, especially in the time of a headache. So if they start to get a headache and then they're on their phone or they're watching TV, that can certainly make the migraine or headache even worse. I think screens have other relationships to headaches as well, too, that if we're up late at night in bed scrolling on TikTok as a teenager, we're not getting to bed on time, and sleep deprivation can certainly make headaches worse. So those are correlations with migraines as well.
Well, let's do this. It's time for our first break. It's 7:15. Again, we're broadcasting live from the Minnesota State Fair as people are arriving. You mentioned just one trigger, but when we come back, let's talk about more triggers and causes of migraine. And if people are listening at home and they have a question, please call or text 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. We're back with our health hour here on WCCO, live from the fair. And welcome back. We are live from the Minnesota State Fair. I'm Susie Jones. Josh Wheeler is running the board here at the fair, and our good friend Ryan Perpich is back at the station with our lovely bumper music. Love it. Well, I hope if you're at the fair walking by, as folks are waking up, you want to stop by and say hello. We have water here, back here, brought to you by Livia. So everybody appreciates water at the fair, especially if it's a hot day. But today is not a hot day. It is chilly out here. And this hour, we're talking about headaches and migraines. A lot of people suffer from both. And we have with us on our newsline Dr. Katie Ferguson. She's a pediatric neurologist with Neuran Neurology here in the Twin Cities. And Dr. Michael Sethna, also a doctor at Neuran Neurology, an adult neurologist. So welcome back to both of you. Before we took our break, we were talking about causes and triggers. And we mentioned screen time. What are the most common triggers for migraines in both kids and adults? And maybe I'll start with you, Dr. Sethna, if that's all right, and we'll go from there.
Sure. In adults, I think the commonest two triggers that I see in women, hormones are unbelievably common. Many women will have a predictable menstrual migraine once a month. The other, I think, very under-recognized trigger is a sore neck. It is incredibly common that neck tension and tension headaches themselves trigger migraine headaches.
And would that be similar in children, Dr. Ferguson?
The triggers in kids are slightly different. So we don't see as much neck pain just because kids are younger, don't have as many structural problems in their neck. The common triggers that I see in kids are lack of sleep, which I mentioned, especially in our adolescents. And then for our younger kids, oftentimes it's the busy, exciting days, right? It's the day that they go to the state fair and they're exhausted by the end of the day. Maybe they don't drink as well. They're a little dehydrated. Maybe they're eating less nutritious, all the fried foods. And it's exciting. And they often get a headache or a migraine in the letdown. So they don't get the headache when they're at the fair. They get the headache on the way home on the bus or when they finally get home at the end of the day and the migraine comes. So those busy, exciting days, lack of sleep, dehydration, maybe not eating as regular meals or as nutritious food. And then also that stress, whether it be excited, happy stress, or whether it be the adolescent with a exam at school, those stressors can be a trigger for migraines as well.
And can kids actually identify they're having a migraine or tell their mom or dad or person explaining what they're experiencing?
Usually my younger kids, they can't, right? So a toddler isn't going to come up to you and often they won't say, my head hurts. But families will notice all of a sudden my busy, rambunctious 3-year-old is laying on the couch in the middle of the day and wants the lights off. And they're just not acting right. So that's how parents often identify it. And sometimes it takes them some time to get to us to say, oh, this is a migraine. If there's a family history in our younger kids, often mom or dad has a history of migraines, and they'll be able to identify after the second or third time that it happens, oh, maybe they are having a migraine or a headache. But if there's no family history, sometimes it can take a while to determine that this is actually a headache and not, you know, a cold or another type of illness.
651-461-9226. If you have a question for our guests this hour, Dr. Katie Ferguson and Dr. Michael Sethna, both neurologists with Neuran Neurology, talking about headaches and migraines. And Dr. Sethna, we did have a texter who wrote in asking about that notion of having a migraine but no head pain and not sure about what the trigger is. So how important is it, Dr. Sethna, to find that trigger? I would imagine that's pretty important, right?
It is important, and we often spend a lot of time talking to patients about triggers. The truth is, in adults, people figure out pretty quickly that if they drink red wine, they're in for it. If they stay up too late, they're likely to have that it may well trigger a migraine. And more often than not, the triggers are effectively unavoidable. Or people figure them out and they don't drink red wine.
Yeah.
We often ask patients to make headache calendars and sit down and try to figure it out. My experience, and again, both Katie and I, we are specialists, and I can't say that, you know, that the great majority of headache patients are exactly what we see. Maybe we just see the extreme end of the spectrum. But in my practice, identifying triggers is not very helpful.
No?
Patients have usually figured it out. They will say, well, if there's a weather change, I'm going to get a migraine. There's not much that can be done about that, or a hormone cycle. When there are food triggers, with the singular exception, actually, of there are patients that go gluten-free, and honestly, their headaches get immensely better. If a person has bad headaches that aren't responding, that is worth trying.
Wow, that's interesting. So that's probably kind of a process of maybe elimination or experimentation where you're having a migraine and you're looking at different aspects of your life that cause and effect and maybe try to make some changes to. I know my best friend has migraines and she knows exactly, kind of like, okay, I haven't had enough water, or I've had too much coffee, et cetera. But she too has that neck stiffness that generally she can tell is going to be bringing on a migraine.
Yeah, I suspect this is a big difference between pediatric neurology and adult. But in adults, the patients are pretty attuned to the issue and what brings it on and what makes it better.
And Katie, I imagine that's not necessarily true, where they have the capacity to understand what brings on a migraine.
Yeah, that's right. In kids, it's different. Sometimes parents over time can start to identify what the trigger is for the kids. But most often it's a little bit of a mystery. And we do sometimes try the like headache diaries, as Dr. Sethna mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes we're kind of left with it seemingly random and comes up without a clear cause for kids.
651-461-9226. We are live at the Minnesota State Fair, and we're talking all things health as we do each and every Sunday morning, and we always invite you to be part of the show. I know a lot of people have headaches. I get headaches, but I know they're not migraines, I think, because it's just a straight headache, as you mentioned earlier, Dr. Sethna. If it's something that's more milder, that it can be handled with like an Excedrin, and there's no other signs, there's no other spots. I just feel like I don't have I feel like migraines are distinctively worse than a normal headache.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a genetic component to it?
Oh, yeah. There's a genetic component to almost all medical conditions. It probably accounts for in the neighborhood of 50% of migraine. But that's not a huge factor.
No? Okay.
Yeah. And again, that's not something one can do anything about.
Right. But I'm sure that have treatments changed over the years?
Well, treatments have changed immensely. It was probably 30, 40 years ago that the first migraine-specific abortive came out, acute abortive, the triptans, Imitrex. There are certain medicines that if you take as soon as you start to slip into a migraine, it will often halt it or turn what could have been a two-day experience into a two-hour experience. Made an immense difference in the quality of life of patients.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, because, like you just mentioned, the length of the headache or the migraine can differ. Is it always several hours, or is it usually short?
Well, a migraine is almost always an hours-long experience, unless you use one of these acute treatments. I remember a man in my office that had a horrible migraineous-like problem called cluster headache. These are just hideous headaches that respond beautifully to these triptans. He looked ashen in my office. He whipped out an injector of Imitrex, injected himself, and I timed it. 7 minutes later, he just shook his head and said, "Whoof!" I said, "What was that?" He said, "My headache just went away."
Wow. And a texter just wanted to ask you that question, 651-461-9226. Can you please explain or have the doctor explain what cluster headaches are? You just mentioned them. What are they?
Yeah, cluster headache, the word cluster refers to the fact that these patients will often go weeks or months with no headache at all, and then will start to have one or two blistering, horrible headaches a day that last 30 minutes. It could last 2 hours. They, as opposed to a regular migraine, which makes a person nauseous and want to lie down in a quiet, dark room, these patients often pace. They often have a runny nose and the eye tears. And they will have a cluster of days of headache that could last 3 weeks. It could last 3 months.
Ugh.
And then they'll go, it could be a year until they have another cluster.
Wow, that's interesting. And that's different from a migraine?
It's a form of migraine. Cluster headaches respond to the same agents that migraines respond to.
Okay.
But it's really quite a different sort of headache. It's often misdiagnosed. When patients have very frequent migraines, they'll say, "Well, I have a cluster headaches. I'm having a cluster of headaches." But it's a very specific kind of migraineous headache.
Mm, interesting. All right, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break right now. It is 7:30 on WCCO Radio. We're broadcasting live from the Minnesota State Fair. I'm Susie Jones, and we're happy to have you with us today. Whether you're listening at home or you're out here at the fair, the doors are open, so more and more people are making their way in. We have Dr. Katie Ferguson, a pediatric neurologist, and Dr. Michael Sefna, an adult neurologist, with us on our newsline, both from Naran Neurology. And we'll continue our conversation about headaches. A lot of people get headaches out here at the fair with all the smell and the smoke and the people and the crowd. So we'll get to that. Plus, kind of more, you mentioned it, doctor, but what we can do about it in terms of medication and lifestyle and what we can do to kind of help ourselves if we have a headache or a migraine, kind of subdue some of that pain. We're back right after this on WCCO. That's kind of fun, isn't it? I think I'm going to stand up. I think if I do calisthenics, I might not be so cold. I think this says heaven. I'm in heaven. Well, a lot of people are in heaven out here at the Minnesota State Fair. Long line over at French Meadow Bakery and French Crepes and Mancini's, getting their coffee and scone and donut to keep warm. Dr. Katie Ferguson is our guest, as is Dr. Michael Sefna, both neurologists with Naran Neurology. And we're talking about headaches and treatment and genetics, and we invite your phone calls, as always, at 651-461-9226. That is 651-461-9226. Dr. Seth, I want to come back to treatment options for migraines, both over-the-counter and prescription. Have we come a long way in that we could get an over-the-counter efficient prescription or medication for our headache?
The over-the-counter agents for migraines, really, there are patients that will say Excedrin migraine will take away their headache, or even Tylenol, but that's pretty uncommon. There are some, in addition to the triptans, which were a game changer in terms of acute treatment of migraine, there's now another entirely different set of treatments that combat the actions of a neurotransmitter called CGRP. Hmm. And this class has made an immense difference in the treatment of migraine, especially the preventative treatment of migraine.
Okay, preventative treatment, so you don't even get them. You knock them out before they even get there?
That's right. That's right.
And treatments for children, Dr. Ferguson, Katie, what can you tell us about that and how they differ from adults?
Yeah, our kids are quite different. So my young kids, toddlers and school-age children, often an ibuprofen at the start of the headache is enough to cut it. Sometimes they'll need a little nap in addition to that, so sleep traditionally helps relieve migraine. So as long as we take an ibuprofen at the very onset of the headache, oftentimes that's enough for my kids. And they might need to lay down on the couch or in a dark room for half an hour, but then families will tell me that they pop up and they're totally back to their normal selves, which
wow.
is wonderful.
Yeah, it is. Because go ahead, for older kids.
Yeah, for older kids, it's a little different. Sometimes they need some of those triptans that Dr. Sethna was talking about. And it's actually a really exciting time for my older patients with migraines, because those CGRP medications that Dr. Sethna just mentioned, just 2 weeks ago, the first one got approved for pediatric patients.
Oh, great.
Down to the age of 6, we can now prescribe these medications, and they work wonderfully. So we're really excited. It's a really exciting time that these medications are starting to get approved for pediatrics. Often they always go through studies in adults first, and then the kids get them later. But we're really excited about that approval that came in just on August 6th.
Wow, that is very new. You know, I guess, and Dr. Ferguson, how, I'm trying to figure out how common a child's migraine is versus an adult. Like, you hear about adults getting headaches, but I don't think it's as well known that children suffer.
Definitely. A lot of people don't realize that kids and even toddlers can get them. Studies vary kind of on how frequent they are in pediatric patients, but it's estimated that by the time a kid turns 18, approximately 10% of kids have had a migraine at some point in their 18 years of life. So I think that's a lot more than we all appreciate, that 10% of kids by the time they become an adult have had a migraine. So it's important for us to know about them, for people to recognize them, and then get help for those patients and send them on to see us that are struggling with migraines, because we have many, many tools that we can use for treatment.
Right, right. 651-461-9226. That is the number to text if you have a question for our guests about headaches. If you have a question in the audience and you want to come up, raise your hand and come on up, and we'll get your question that way. A texter writes at 651-461-9226. What correlation, if any, is there with Botox and migraines? And Dr. Sethna, or either of you, take that?
Yeah, Botox is a very common treatment for so-called chronic migraine, which means these are patients that have headaches more days than not, and migraineous headache at least 8 days out of the month.
Woo!
The truth is that Botox is a muscle paralytic, and about 100% of these patients that respond to Botox have tight muscle headaches, and I guess if you realize what the medicine does, you would predict that it would be tight muscle headaches. These are almost always patients that have neck-triggered headaches. And if tight neck muscles yank on the back of your head long enough, that causes dull headache that are often called tension headaches. The tension headaches often trigger migraine headaches. And if you can loosen up those muscles with Botox, then a person has fewer tension headaches and fewer migraines.
Where do you put the Botox? Do you put it in your neck?
in your neck, in your forehead, in the temples. There's a cookbook, a set of injections. It's pretty clear that it's not all of the injections that help in every patient, but if you inject enough spots, you typically treat many of the trigger areas in an average patient, and many, many patients will say that Botox is life-changing for them.
And Dr. Katie Ferguson, is that something a younger person could use as well?
It is. I do Botox injections for patients in the clinic. The problem with it is, as Dr. Sussman mentioned, we inject throughout the face, neck, shoulders, and it's 32 injections. So it's quite a lot, especially for our younger kids. We're not too thrilled about having 32 injections. It goes quick. It takes me about 10 minutes. But we definitely, in children, try to think about other options before we proceed to Botox. But we certainly have a handful of teenagers who use those injections to help with their migraines. And as Dr. Sussman said, it really can make a big difference for their lives.
Yeah, that's great. I have, again, I mentioned my best friend Lisa. I just was wondering, Dr. Sethna, it seems like she would take a medication and it would mean the whole day, like she was just out of it for the whole day. Have we come a long way? I mean, do you still take a kind of medication and it knocks you out for the day?
More often than not, when a person is knocked out for the whole day, that's because the medicine didn't adequately treat migraine.
Oh.
Many, many patients with migraine will say that without treatment, they are utterly miserable for hours, and then the headache often lingers for a day or so, and even more common, the person feels beat up and hungover for one, two, three, or even more days.
Wow.
The medicines we use to treat migraine typically don't knock people. Sometimes they do.
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, that's a sign of an undertreated migraine.
A texter writes, my daughter has told me she has vestibular migraines. What are they, and what are the symptoms? The texter wants to know.
Vestibular means it is of or relating to the vestibular nerve, which is the balance nerve. Early on, you asked about migraine with aura, about the visual migraine. A classic migraine is, again, a bad headache preceded by an odd experience, usually a visual experience. Sometimes the experience is that of vertigo. So a person will say, I was feeling just fine, and then all of a sudden the world tilted, or all of a sudden it felt like I was a kid twirling around and around and around, and I got incredibly nauseous. Had to lie down in a quiet, dark room, and then had the migraine headache. So a vertiginous migraine, a vestibular migraine, is a migraine that is heralded by an experience of vertigo, which is just a horrible experience.
And Dr. Ferguson, can kids get vertigo as well?
They do. You'll be surprised that even my 3- and 4-year-olds and the rare kid that has vertigo as an aura or as part of their migraine, they can tell you that they're dizzy. They know that sensation, as Dr. Sussman said, maybe from, I don't know, ring around the rosy in the playground or what have you, but they can say that they're dizzy and they seem unsteady and they look dizzy to parents sometimes.
Yeah, my grandson is a little bit sick, and last night I babysat him and he looked dizzy, and I'm like, oh, I bet maybe you have a little
mm-hmm.
headache, you little 1-year-old.
Yeah, could be.
Say, we're going to take our last break of the hour. It is 7:45, 651-461-9226. We have more questions for you both, so we'll take this final break and be back with more after this on WCCO Radio as we are broadcasting live from the Minnesota State Fair. It is 7:48 on a Sunday morning. 57 degrees right now, people. A lot of folks walking around the fair with sweatshirts, some with t-shirts, some with shorts. I saw somebody with a blanket on around them because it's just that chilly. And we're not going to get that much warmer today. The high today is 67, but I was just talking to Greg, stopped by to say hi. He said he likes the fair this temperature. I think a lot of people do, to be honest. I think it's nice to have a little bit of a cooler day while you're out here. Well, we are wrapping up this hour. It's our last segment together. We have Dr. Katie Ferguson and Dr. Michael Sethna, both neurologists with Neuran Neurology in the Twin Cities, talking about headaches and migraines and the differences and the medications that are available for people. And a texter wrote in at 651-461-9226. And I know Dr. Ferguson mentioned it for children, but the texter wants to know, could you please repeat the names of the new meds to treat migraines? So either one, I'll not have you step over each other. Is it the same one, Dr. Ferguson, that is for children or adults in treating migraines?
It is. So they're called, it's a group of medications called the CGRP monoclonal antibodies, and they're monthly injections that patients take prescribed by a neurologist. So you would see one of us at Neuran. And the one that was just approved for children specifically is called Ajovy, is the brand name for it. And there are two other monthly injectable medications, and then there are some pill forms as well. So a neurologist would be happy to discuss this with anyone for prevention of migraines in people with frequent chronic migraines.
And I would imagine you would need to be referred to you by your primary care physician, right? Or can you come directly to Neuran Neurology and say, I've been suffering from headaches, I need to talk to someone?
Yeah, you can come directly to us. We'll work with your insurance to ensure that you don't, if you need a referral or not, we can help with that. But you can call us and schedule an appointment to discuss migraines. Certainly, you can start with your primary doctor or your pediatrician as well, and they can try some things and then refer you if migraines aren't getting better. So kind of either way is possible.
A texter writes at 651-461-9226, are there certain foods that can cause migraines? I have heard high sodium intake can play a role in migraines. Is that true? That is one of our listeners asking that question.
Absolutely. So there are a number of food triggers for headaches. Dr. Sethna mentioned an adult's red wine. Certainly my kids are not having that as a trigger.
No.
But the most common triggers that we hear about are processed meats. So things like deli meat, bacon, hot dogs, things like that. Cheese, especially like the aged cheeses, your aged cheddars or those nice aged cheeses. Chocolate, caffeine. Sodium is not a classic trigger, but certainly anything that deviates from your normal diet or, the day you go to the fair and eat all the fried food, those can be triggers for migraines for sure.
And I wonder, too, Dr. Ferguson, about all the monster drinks that everybody drink, the young teenagers, all those energy powerful ones with all the bright colored cans.
Yeah, so caffeine can definitely be a trigger. I usually tell my patients that, you'll also hear people say that caffeine fixes my headache, right? Mm-hmm. That, when I get a headache, I have a Diet Coke and it feels better. So it can go both ways, but certainly an excess of caffeine can trigger headaches. And those monsters, bubblers, whatever's in these days, they have a lot of caffeine, much more than your typical cup of coffee. So those can certainly be a trigger for headaches. And alternatively, if a teenager is drinking one of those every day and then they skip a day, that lack of caffeine can also trigger a headache. So
you're kind of
doomed from both directions. So I say a little bit of caffeine and keep it consistent is okay for people with migraines. But going too far from that can make them worse.
651-461-9226. That is the number if you're listening at home and have a question. If you want to stop by our booth, we are here and can take questions in person as well. A texter writes, what are ocular migraines? Are those the same as vision headaches? And what are the symptoms? We kind of talked about this earlier in the hour, Dr. Sethna, but maybe you could explain the difference.
Yeah, ocular migraine, more often than not, when people talk about that, they're talking about classic migraine headache with a visual aura, which again is usually what we would call a positive phenomenon. A person sees something that isn't there. again, typically something shimmery, something like zigzag lines. Sometimes it's like a bright flash bulb in your eyes and that black spot with sort of a shimmery edge. Again, it usually lasts 10, 15, 20 minutes, then recedes, and then a person gets a terrible, terrible headache.
You mentioned the keeping track of your headaches. So someone's listening and they want to, maybe they have headaches, chronic headaches, and they want to kind of know, is that a good idea? And how do you help people with creating a headache diary, for lack of a better word?
I think that different physicians have different approaches to headache diaries. At times, a person, if they chronicle their headaches, they realize that there are patterns that they didn't realize before. Women may often realize that there is a menstrual association. I've had patients that said they realize that, you know, they are pretty much free of headache through the week, but at the end of the week, I think as Dr. Ferguson said, the letdown headache. Mm. Often a person will be go, 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 and then when they've finally completed their task, they, and that sort of letting go, whammo, they may come down with a headache.
Okay. Yes. And Dr. Ferguson, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, so we use a couple headache trackers in kids. You know, there are apps these days that our teenagers like. The only problem with those is sometimes they collect so much information that then it's hard to sort through and identify. But there's apps. Migraine Buddy is one of them that some of my teenagers use. And the one I actually like is an old-fashioned, plain-old piece of white paper next to the bedside with a calendar on it. And patients mark at the end of the day, did I have a headache? How bad was it on a scale of 0 to 3? And did I take a medicine? And that's a really easy way for them to bring it in to clinic for us to see at the end of the month and kind of sort through, can we identify any triggers? How often are we having headaches? Is the medicine or the treatment that we're doing, is it working 1 month to the next month? And give us an idea of how things are going. So we talk about that a lot in clinic of how to track these.
And well, one problem with adults is it is incredibly common that people have some kind of headache every single day. Mm-hmm. And that makes tracking the headaches a little tough.
Right, that's what I was going to say. How do you know when you just have a regular headache and when you need to see someone professionally? And we have about a minute left.
I would say that the really undertreated headache problem, certainly around here, is the daily headache. The number of patients I've seen that said, "Well, I can get what I need to get done," and then they don't attend to the fact that they're miserable. With undertreated headache, I think people feel greedy if they're 50% better, but 50% of horrible is still horrible. So I'd encourage these patients to reach out to their doctors and indicate that really something should be done.
I would assume that's true for kids as well. With the last 30 seconds here,
absolutely. We don't realize in kids how much headaches can impact our day to day. Kids miss school, kids miss fun activities, kids avoid doing sports because of headaches, and there really are options for us to help kids, both medication and non-medication options. So I encourage families to talk to their pediatrician or come see us at Naran. And we have 5 clinic locations throughout the city, so we can really see people from all throughout the state, and we're happy to see kids and get them more functional and get them back to the activities that they want to be doing.
Well, thank you both for being on the show. We really appreciate it. Some great information, and have a wonderful weekend. Dr. Katie Ferguson, Dr. Michael Sethna, Naran Neurology on News Talk 830 WCCO.